You know, when you get to my age, sometimes your mind plays tricks on you. So if I get off in left field, well, you'll know the reason why. This story started before the world began, because we're told in the Bible we're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But it was just at the turn of the century that it came into reality. And I was born in the country farmhouse, September the 15th, 1902. I came into this world a squalling brat with a heart failure or a heart valve weakness. I began my schooling in a one-room school house in the country when all eight classes were held in the same room. And I went through that, and because there was no high school near, I can't see that clock, so I'm waiting till I get my watch. Because I'm going to have to cover a half a century in 15 minutes. I finished grade school, and then I had to go away to high school, and I was rooming with an aunt of mine. And then finishing high school, went on to college. And then the thing that usually happens, after you get through school, you finally get the idea that you'd like to have a bride. So I found one. Or I don't know whether I found her or she found me. But anyway, we got together and we were married and we started a family. Well, she was saved and I wasn't. She took an awful chance. But she could sing, wow, way up those high soprano notes, you know, way up there in the sky. And she wanted to sing. And she wanted to sing in the church. The only way she could get to the church was Ken take her. So Ken took her to church. And through those early weeks and months, I slept through most of the service of all of them. I wasn't a bit interested. Until one night in a Dutch Reformed church in Newark, New Jersey, I didn't go to sleep. I discovered that I was on my way to hell on a toboggan. And I didn't like that a little bit. I just didn't want to go to hell. So what was I going to do? There's only one way out. I said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Well, time went on. And that was in 35 years after. I was 35 years old before I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. After accepting the Lord, I went to grammar school for our Bible school for a couple of years. And then a young fellow from the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, if you know anything about it was a wonderful church at that time, came to our church and he and I joined up and we had a lot of fun together. We went and held services, open-air services, young people services, and once in a while we got into the pulpit and preached in the churches. So I began my ministry there in that, and time went on. And I moved to a little town out in New Jersey, about 15 miles from Newark, because that's where we were at that time, to a little town called Pequannock. It's a little Indian town. Out there I got interested in some churches. First one, then another, and finally, for a little while, I had a church of my own there in town. Well, the ministry carried on there for some time in the different churches, some parts in some and some in the other. Then the business world kind of got upset, and I was working, but I needed a better position. So I was offered a position in Montreal, Canada. It was the biggest mistake I ever made, but I accepted it. And I went to Montreal, Canada, and by the way, when I went to college, my profession was a chemist. So that was my vocation, and my avocation was telling other people about the Lord. So we moved to Canada. We'd been there a little while, and we sought out a church. And the pastor was left, and then there was another one incoming there for a little while, and toward the end of, well, it was about a year and 8 months, I guess, after I had gone to Canada, they were without a preacher. So they asked me if I would pinch hit for a while until they had found another one. Finally, they found another preacher, and I decided my time was up. I didn't like Montreal at all. There were too many French people there, and every time I lifted the phone, they talked to me in French. And I had to tell them I couldn't understand it. So we moved back to New Jersey. When we got back to New Jersey, the family wanted to go to Florida. We'd been there a few years before, and I was all eaten up with the bugs. And I wasn't about to go back to Florida. But I heard about a young man named Horace Greeley, I think his name was, and he said, "Go west, young man, go west." So we took off for California, pulling a 27-foot trailer with an old Buick across the country. And I tell you, we had some wild times coming across. We got stuck on the highway and all other things happened. But we finally arrived in California. We got settled in a trailer court. It was a trailer then. It wasn't a mobile home. So there is a difference, you know. It wasn't a mobile home, it was a trailer. Anyway, one Sunday I said, "I'm going to church." The family said, "Well, you go ahead and we'll come maybe later." So I went to church that Sunday morning. And I went and parked my car. I was going to go to a Baptist church. And I looked up the street and I saw Brethren Church. Well, that sounded kind of familiar, because while I was in New Jersey, we had a lot of fellowship with the Plymouth Brethren. I don't know whether you know who they are, but they were a wonderful group of folks. J.N. Darby was one of the forerunners. He had a lot of influence over Scofield when he wrote about the premillennial rapture of the church. Anyway, I went up there to church and went in, and I knew it was the Plymouth Brothers because they never had a church. They always had a building of some kind. So I went in. When I got home, they said, "Well, how'd you like it?" I said, "It didn't sound too bad." So they said, "Well, let's go." So we went to church that night. We were going there. In the meantime, I was employed. After I got to California, in a week I had a job as in my line of work. And So they went to church. We all went to church. And 4 months later, the pastor left the church to go to the mission field. And they said, "Ken, will you pinch hit?" Well, I pinch hit. And then it was only about a month, and they said, "Will you become the pastor?" Wow. Mm-hmm. Me? Yeah, you. Okay, I'll give it a try. Well, I took the pastorate and had it for a little over 3 years. Problems developed, some very serious ones. So I left the pastorate and didn't do anything for a few weeks. And then I visited a little church in Pico Rivera. A businessman, had built a church there. I don't know what time was I started. Anyway, a man had built a church there. And so I had some fellowship with him. Well, that went on for some time. Incidentally, well, I'll tell you that a little later. And so then Ken wasn't too easy to get along with maybe at that time. I was kind of sot in my ways. If you didn't believe it the way I did it, you were all wet. But anyway, so we kind of didn't agree, and so we separated. Well, beloved, that was the beginning of disaster. Little by little, I lost interest in the church. Neither the wife and I went anywhere. We didn't have any prayer anymore. We didn't read our Bible anymore. We just coasted along. The result of that was that one night I came home from work and I found my wife on the floor in the bedroom. She'd had a stroke. We got her to the hospital, and after an examination, they discovered she had an extensive blood clot on a part of her brain that could never be removed. She was incommunicative. She was a vegetable. And for 8 long years, she couldn't communicate, and I couldn't communicate with her. Well, at the end of 8 years, finally, God was gracious. And one night, I got a call from the hospital. Your wife has turned for the worst, and God took her home in a few hours. Well, I didn't know where to go for a preacher then because we were all out of contact. But I remembered some friends in the Brethren Church where I had been a pastor for 3 years. I called them, and they said, well, Brother Delaney would be glad to take it for you. So I called Brother Delaney, and he took the service. And then just a few weeks after that, I received a letter from these people. They said, Ken, don't you think it's about time you got back where you were before? If you can't come back to this church, go somewhere. Well, I went back to that church and started to fellowship with there. Going on a few weeks, and I want to tell you that each week the burden got heavier of those lost years. It got worse and worse all the time. Lord, why did I fail you for all that time? It wasn't 8 years, it was almost 10 years. Why did I fail you for all that time? Well, I went to church one Sunday morning, and the pastor frequently offered the place for an opportunity for a testimony. I said, Lord, don't let him give us an opportunity this morning. He didn't. A few days following was Christmas, and I told my family, I said, I can't take it anymore. The burden is too heavy. I've got to find a release somewhere. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get in my car, and I'm going to take off. I'll let you know when I get there and where I am. So I got in my car and started over the hills from L.A. and landed up in Mojave, in the Mojave Desert. Got a motel room. Incidentally, before I left, these people, the friends of ours, had invited me back to church. He'd loaded me with Chuck Swindoll tape, and I had my Bible. Got in the room there. The only time I left that room for a week was to eat. And I don't know how many times I listened to Chuck Swindoll's tapes, but I listened to him a good many times, and I started to read my Bible. Then I began to pray. In God, in His love and grace and mercy, in the midst of that week, the burden was lifted, and I heard a voice, not audibly, no. It's all right, Ken. You're back home. Well, so I returned, and the same Sunday I came back, the pastor said, anybody want to give a testimony? Oh, boy. Ken was on his feet. And I told what had happened. And I wasn't sure that my testimony was what it should have been. And I said, Lord, give me some proof. After the service, a young couple came to me and said, thanks for the testimony. That night in the service, an older group said how much they'd enjoyed my testimony. Well, continued to attend church there.
And then I wondered about this little church in Pequon.
Pico Rivera, sorry. In Pico Rivera.
So I went by there one day and nobody was there. Well, I got on my car and I stood leaning on the fence. All at once, one of the doors in the Sunday school room opened and a lady came out and I recognized her. Everybody in the church called her Auntie Claire. And I said, "Hi, Auntie Claire. Do you have any services in the church now?" "Oh, yes, we have Sunday service. We have a Sunday school and early service." I said, "Thank you." And she said, "Who are you?" Well, I said, "Don't you remember Ken Drennan?" "Oh, yes. We wondered where you went." I said, "Well, I'll come back and visit you." Well, a short time, then I came back and visited him, and Auntie Claire one day put the preacher on the spot. She said, "Why don't you ask Ken to speak to us some Sunday morning?" And he grudgingly said, "Yes." The next Sunday morning I spoke. I don't think it was anything special, but in the middle of the week I got a call. "Ken, we need a preacher. The preacher left." Wow. I didn't know I drove him away that fast. Anyway, I went back and preached for a while. And Auntie Claire got busy and she invited a young lady to come to church. That young lady's name was Alice. So Alice started to come to church. Well, time went on and my family moved away and I had some flowers and I had some woodworking material tools and I didn't know where to put them. Now I said, "Bring them down to my place and put it in the garage." "Okay, bring them down." So we had, there's where my tools went. Well, that meant that I had to do some things, fixing around the house and doing this. And Alice would come out, "Can you do this or can you fix that?" And yes. So anyway, then we got tied up with a correspondence Bible school. And Alice and I took care of the mail, and then we gave it to the people, and they corrected it because it was in Spanish. Well, then, strangely enough, there was a fellow keeping company with Alice, and he said, "I want a home of my own, and I can't have a home of my own with you unless we get married." So, you know, they got married. And then they started looking for a home. One day they came out here to Chino Hills and they showed me a house. They said, "What do you think about it?" I said, "It looks pretty good." Nothing more was said. I came up to the apartment one day and said, "Ken, would you come and live with us?" "Why? A Yankee with two Latins? Yumpanyamin." Well, finally I said, "Okay, we'll try it for a year. It'll be 5 years in December. The Lord bless you. You know the rest."